Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Oh, you know, I much prefer it when we have that big wooden, like, because then I can lean on it and hold on to it. It helps my nerves. I always like to hide behind something, whether it's a guitar or the drums or a pulpit. We all like to hide behind something, don't we? I was thinking a bit about wearing these jeans today while I was preaching. And I was thinking, see Wendy's face, should I really be wearing ripped jeans while I'm doing a sermon? But you know what? This actually, how I'm dressed now reflects actually how I am. You know, I'm a little bit torn and a little bit frayed. Anyone agree with me with that one? You know, we are, aren't we? But we're still God's beloved. We're still loved by God unconditionally. And like Rach said earlier, you know, we come as we are. We don't come as we think we ought to come. You know, we come as we are. God loves us unconditionally. and this is the topic we're on today, like healthy accountability. You know, in a healthy church culture. And the scripture that we're looking at it from is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. So I'm just going to read that to you now. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, bear with each other. You're going to bear with me? And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I've kind of had a bit of inspiration, well, over my cornflakes this morning. So I have slightly kind of change what I was going to do. So it feels a bit disjointed. Give me some grace. But what happened over breakfast, you'll be wondering what I had on my cornflakes. But what I had, what I kind of worked out while I was having my breakfast was a better way to say this. And, you know, and I kind of thought, I really need to go with that, because I think that really gets to the heart of what we're talking about today, about healthy accountability. So I had to, like, chop and change quite a bit. Graham doesn't know about this yet. He doesn't mind. But, you know, I wanted to bring some context to healthy accountability. And going right back to the beginning of our Bibles, you know, in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Genesis, you know, humans were made to be God's image bearers. So we were made to reflect God into the world. That's what human beings, you know, were made for. That's what it says in the Bible. And so that alone kind of says that we have an accountability to God because we bear, you know, his image. You know, we're called to bear his image. And also, we're also called to bear God's image together. You know, in Genesis, that's actually a collective bearing God's image. It's not just us individually, but also kind of... Obviously, this passage we're looking at today is Paul speaking to a community. And actually, in the passage that precedes this passage in Colossians, Paul talks a lot about, in some ways, the passage that we're looking at is this is what you should be like. This is like a positive thing. This is what you should be like as a community. The preceding passage talks about, this is what you shouldn't be like. It's more like a negative kind of thing. It's kind of like, and he kind of highlights kind of things in that community that are actually causing like division and actually things that are causing people to hurt each other. Where are my notes? And we're called to reflect God, who is love. You know, a divided community, a community that's fighting with each other or hurting one another, won't be able to do that, or at least it won't be doing it very well. So we have not just an accountability to God because we bear his image, but we have an accountability to each other because we bear his image together. And this is about creating an environment, if you like, or a place where people, as the verses that we read out, can be supported and cared for and can grow to maturity. But it's also where we can be real and open and honest with one another. We need to be people who bear with one another, who are willing to forgive one another. And after all, isn't this how God loves us? Isn't that how God loves us? You know, but that same care for one another should also compel us to have each other's best interests at heart. And that's inside and outside of the church, actually. So if we do see someone causing themselves or others harm, we shouldn't be afraid to raise that. And it's really important we are free to speak out if there are things going on that we think are wrong. That is actually what it means to love one another and to look out for one another and to care for one another and to bear God's image together, because God's image is love. God is love. And that's what we've been called to reflect into the world. And you know what? We are all going to make mistakes, and we are all different. You may have already noticed this. And the Bible says that we're living stones, not bricks. Bricks are all uniform. They're all the same. But we're living stones. And we come in all kinds of different shapes and all kinds of different sizes. You know, let's be ready to celebrate, you know, what's different about each other as well. And it's also worth noting, you know, that building together with stone. I was on the beach yesterday, so we did a competition with the kids who could build like the biggest tower with stones. Have you ever tried to do it? It takes a bit of time. And it's the same with us. We're all different. It takes a lot of care, patience, and love to build together with living stones, because we're all different. You know, but we trust that God is doing that in our midst. He's building us together. So the last part from verse 16. You know, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, teaching to God with gratitude in your hearts. And the word admonish is a bit of a strange word, isn't it? Admonish. So I thought I'd just explain that a little bit. So it's sometimes translated exhort. So it's a kind of an urging one another in a very sincere kind of a way. Okay, so teaching and admonishing one another is a part of healthy accountability. You know, if we're to be mutually accountable to the goal of bearing God's image together, you know, another way of that is giving way to one another or preferring one another. And I have to admit, this can be hard in reality and takes a lot of humility, I would say. One of the things that Paul says that we should be. It's admitting that maybe I don't always have the right answers for my own life. And that other people can maybe see things that I don't. And ultimately, it's about admitting that maybe we need help. And maybe we're okay admitting that we need help from God. But to admit that we need God's help through other people, maybe is not so easy, is it? You know, maybe God is providing for us, speaking to us through other people. Maybe through people we don't even like. I mean, Jesus pushes the boat out even further in his parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, it's your enemy who literally saves your life. I mean, that could and should change the way that we think. As some of you know, I'm in the advice business, as it were. And the thing about advice is that you can give it out until you are kind of blue in the face. But if the other person's not listening, I mean, what use is it? You could be giving out the best advice the world has ever heard, but it'll be of no value whatsoever if the other person's not listening. So, you know, are we teachable? And are we ready to listen? But I also want to put the shoe on the other foot as well, for those who like to give advice. Hands off if you're one of those people. We all like to give out a bit of advice, don't we? Let's face it. I was reminded of the verse in Corinthians. You know, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am but a clanging gong. And you know, you could be saying the right thing, but you could be saying it in the wrong way. And kind of according to this, you're actually wrong. It's not just what we say, how we say it is equally as important. And that's important if we're giving out advice. You might be saying the right thing that's good and it's wise. Saying it in the wrong way, it's not going to be very well received or received at all. For those of us who give advice, that's what I need to learn that. To be honest, when I wrote this down, I was convicted thinking about family life. And I was like, I really need to learn this. It's a hard lesson to learn. I'm still learning. And, you know, in many ways, we are very addicted to our own ways of thinking. And I think we need to find ways to shake off some of our... live in a very individualistic kind of culture where it's all just about the individual. You know, and sometimes we have a need to be up, to be in the right or always in the right in terms of what we think. And this is my inspiration over breakfast that I've put boom on my notes here. Boom. And basically, I was thinking how, you know, what the Bible tells us. I was thinking what the Bible tells us on the whole is actually what we do really matters. What we do really matters. You know, and I was thinking about science tells us the same thing. You know, science is telling us things like how everything is connected. Everything is connected across the universe, in your garden. Everything is that there's a deep interconnectedness, you know, through God's creation. Everything is connected. I don't know if you've heard the word, it's a big word these days, ecology. Which is like how, if you change one thing in your garden, that can have an effect on lots of other things. Rachel, is Rachel still here? She works with bees. This is a great example, isn't it? Bees. Because like, the farmers started using some pesticides on their, to grow their crops because we need food and stuff. But then they didn't realize that these pesticides then are not good for the bees. This is ecology. And hopefully they're learning. I'm not sure they are. Are they, Rach? Not really. But like some are, kind of to learn to use pesticides that are more friendly to bees. Because actually bees are really, really important for making food. So you can see how one thing can affect lots of other things because it's all connected. Science tells us that. It's telling us the same thing as what the Bible's saying, saying what we do really matters. And this is the heart of healthy accountability, actually. It's realizing how what we do affects other people. And it's about us journeying together and learning from one another the things that we do that can affect people in a good way, you know, and also in a bad way. And I'm not saying this to make us feel, oh no, I can't do anything now, because like it's going to affect everyone. You know, we're all deeply connected. We're all deeply connected. So what we do matters and affects and will affect other people, not just us. Not just us. And the way that, I want to say this in a positive way, an invitational way, in that we need to grow in our awareness of how what we do affects other people. And that's at the heart of accountability. That's like the farmers saying, oh, this is like, this is what we're doing to our crops is wiping out the bees. We need to change what we do, what we're doing. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same with us. We need to learn sometimes things that we do that may not be good for other people. And I think that's kind of part of what accountability is about. The heart of what it's about, it's about living together because we're all deeply connected with one another. You know, we can try to live in isolation from others. And I want to just put my finger on this a bit as well. You know, we must be aware, you know, of the there's a deception and dangers of living a life of faith in isolation from others. Kind of living as if we're not connected, okay? And we can do that, I think, because we live in a very individual kind of culture, despite what science is telling us. And there's dangers to thinking that we're not connected to everyone else. We've got to be aware of that. I think about, you know, no person is an island, I've written here. But I think of, like, in look at North Korea, just using North Korea as an example, probably one of the most isolated, like, countries in the world. You know, is it a coincidence that their behavior and their beliefs are so strange? And I don't think so. And I think it's only in company with others, walking together, are our extremities tempered and our wildness tamed. And in the end, it's only the meek, you know, who inherit the earth. And it isn't the powerful. It's those whose power, you know, has been tamed and whose power has been put to use in the service of others. And that's another definition of what love is. And that's what we're called to reflect as God's image bearers. We're called to reflect God, who is love, into the world. And it's about us reflecting that. So, I don't know, has that been cohesive? I'm not sure if that's because cohesive is my first effort, but anyway. Does it make some sense? You know, so whatever context we're in, you know, ministry teams, leadership team, life groups, prayer triplets, prayer groups, time spent together in fellowship with friends, in church, on a Sunday. Let's make them into that kind of safe space. You know, we're called to love and to care for one another, also to bear with one another, to forgive one another. as we've been forgiven. You know, and let's give way to one another in love. And yes, let's be ready to share, you know, what we've learned. And offer advice and give guidance. It's not banned. You know, but let's do it with love. And let's be humble enough to be, you know, teachable and to admit, you know, we might be wrong sometimes. We might not have all the answers. And if we think about it, it's only really together we can really get close to grasping who God is anyway. And it's only together, you know, can we get close to living up to that calling of bearing, you know, God's image, reflecting God into the world. As that, you know, the New Testament calls us a spiritual house. We're living stones being built into a spiritual house, you know, where God's Spirit dwells. You know, when people see us, we want them to see God. We need to be like a window into what God's kingdom, what God's world looks like, God's dream, God's passions. And ultimately, we come together because that's not possible alone. You know, what God's called us to can only be realized together, for God is love. I hope that made sense. And that, you know, God has spoken through it. Thank you very much.